we see Jesus, where the Jewish people teach that he was probably either getting ready or participating in some type of bar mitzvah, because it is Jesus teaching the teachers. Now, I know sometimes that when we don't understand the Jewish customs, we think that Jesus just probably went to the temple and was filled with supernatural knowledge and began to teach them. Well, he is answering questions. He's been rehearsing for this. He's been practicing for this. And so you have to understand that when you get to that age of your life, that is a time to teach your children and know what they know, because there's this thing called rites of passage. Now, in the Jewish world, it's very defined. If you're a boy, you get a bar mitzvah. If you're a girl, you get a bat mitzvah. But you have to, at some point in time, you have to go before the elders and go before family and show them that you understand how to be Jewish. And there's several components of that. There's the learning component. There's a reciting component. As a matter of fact, I wrote down some of the things in a bar mitzvah, if you want to go to that next screen. So these are the kind of things that if you were a Jewish child, that you would be expected. Now, we've been to Israel many times, and almost every single time we go down to the Western Wall, there's a bar mitzvah. And it comes in like a parade. People are blowing trumpets. They're bringing balloons. I mean, it is like a parade. The family's singing and clapping hands. And they go down to the Western Wall, which is their closest place to the temple that they can get. And there's always a rabbi down there. And you see these young men up there reading from the Torah scroll. I mean, they bring out the scrolls. They start reading from the Torah scroll. It's a beautiful thing to observe. But you have to understand that by the age of 12, somebody say by the age of 12. By the age of 12, they want them skilled in the Hebrew language. Now think about that. I was going to give you the name of one of the gamers, but I don't even know the names of any games. Somebody tell me a name. Not in Candy Crush, somebody said. Minecraft, whatever. That's not what they're skilled in. They're not asking them about their games that they're playing. They have to learn a language. They have to be able to recite parts of the Torah, read parts of the Torah from Hebrew. They have to do the Haftarah reading, which is a section of the prophets that are related to the weekly Torah portion. And then they have to put on for the very first time the tefillin, which is basically a strap piece of leather that's wrapped around your arms, and another one that is wrapped around your head that has certain scriptures in those. It specifically has Exodus 13, 1 through 10, and then 11 through 16, and then has Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, which I'll read in a moment, and then Deuteronomy chapter 11 in there as well. And so you wear this box on the top of your head, and you wear this strapped around your arms because of this particular scripture that I'll read to you that tells them to do that. And then you have to basically give a short speech about a Torah lesson, preach a sermon essentially, or give a lesson. You have to give that Torah speech, and then you have to answer the questions, which is what they think Jesus was probably doing when he started teaching the teachers, because they were asking him questions and they were astounded at the answers that he gave them. So they give you a series of questions about your Jewish traditions, about your Jewish history, but also about Torah, about the Holy Scriptures, and you have to be able to answer all the scriptures. So this is one of the verses that's in the tefillin. This is one of the scriptures in there in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And these words which I command you today should be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And this is where they get the phylacteries that they put around their bodies. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost and of your house and on your gates. So all of this is a part of their particular custom, and they want their children to know this by the age of 12. I just want to ask you a question. What kind of tests could your 12-year-old pass on scripture? What kind of tests could your 12-year-old pass on your family? what kind of test could your 12-year-old pass? And this isn't just something they know. What other language could your 12-year-old speak, because they've been in language classes? They have been preparing for this day, because one of the things that the father is going to say at this bar mitzvah is that, I bless the Lord because I'm no longer responsible for you and I can't be punished for it anymore. In essence, I'm not going to be punished because you are now a man and I'm releasing you. You are now responsible. You know you understand the scriptures, you understand the customs, and now before the Lord, you are responsible for yourself. And that is the point that the father releases the child into adulthood at that point. And Jesus was going through this. Not only that, when Jesus was at this age, this is also the time that he is learning the skill of his father. Now, I thank you, Jay, for sending me this, because this was something I did not know, and it was such incredible information that, you know, Jewish children take the name of their father. You see Simon Bar Jonah. Bar means son. That's why they're having a bar mitzvah. The bat mitzvah is the daughter ceremony. So the bar means son. So he's the son of Jonah. Simon Bar Jonah means the son of Jonah. And that is why in the Bible, everyone gives you their father's name, because it's important. It's a part of that. But it's not just about that. It's also credentialing you. So if Jesus said, Jesus bar Joseph, which is to his community, obviously we know he's the son of God eternally, but if he says Jesus bar Joseph, they knew he was a good carpenter. Because Joseph was a respected carpenter, and they knew that Jesus was learning this skill. And if he said, I am Jesus bar Joseph, he could get hired for a job, because it instantly gave him credit and credibility because of that. Now, here's the part that Jay gave me that I didn't realize. He said that it is a Jewish belief that Jesus and his father made fine plows that you would put behind cattle. That's what they did. Now, all the Bible says is carpenter, and it's been speculated, could he have been a brick mason because of the type of building they had then, or did he work with wood? I know that in some TV series they show him carving things with wood, but according to Jewish tradition, what he made was plows. And that there is one historian that writes in 120 AD that the plows that Joseph and Jesus made were so good that they were still being used in his lifetime 100 years later. They made such quality plows. I find it interesting that the one who gives us the parable of the sower is making plows for a living. The one who is the seed and the bread and the one who, he is the one that's making plows, fine plows for a living. So it is believed that Jesus was raised, obviously, in the Jewish tradition like all the other kids. So it would have been natural for him to have all of these experiences. Well, that is what this season of his life was about, that when your child is in that life, they're learning things.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Mormon children are required to go to seminary class at 6 a.m. every morning before they go to school. They have to go for an hour and a half or 2 hours according to when their school starts. Every single morning they go to seminary class and learn Mormonism 5 days a week for 2 hours a day. So they are getting 10 hours. And I don't mean this bad, guys, and I'm not here to blast anybody, but there's some Christian kids, they can't even go to life group. They can't even go to youth group and last for an hour. And there's Mormon kids that are having to go through 10 hours of seminary every single day, and that's how they're growing their, that's how they continue to grow their church, because they're indoctrinating their young people early. That season of life is not optional. No, we're going to learn some things in this season of life. This is where we're going to learn the scriptures. This is where we're going to learn the things that God wants us to learn. I think it's fascinating, and Jay sent this to me as well, but I think it's fascinating that Jesus worked 18 years as a carpenter before he started his ministry. Now think about that. He works 18 years. The Bible says, 6 days shall you labor, and on the seventh is the day of the Sabbath. So Jesus works for six times three. Three is the number of divine completion of the earth. So Jesus works for 6 times 3 years, 18 years as a carpenter, and then one more as a minister, and on the seventh he rested. It was almost like he did 6 years of labor, 6 years of labor to fulfill scripture, and then had a ministry for 3 years before he went on to heaven. So from there you see Mary and Joseph making sure that Jesus was learning all the things that young people learn. So what is that season about? It's about discipline. It's about routine. It's about learning. It's about teaching respect. How many of you grew up in a generation where children were taught to respect their parents? How many of you grew up in a generation where children, it was not an option. It was not an option. How many of you grew up in a generation where children were taught to respect their teachers and their principals, to respect the policemen? How many of you were brought up in a generation where children were taught to respect older people, elderly people, open doors for them, help them, carry things? And I don't know how some generations have gotten away from that, but that training is not something you're ever going to get in a public school or a college. That's not how it works, and that's not what it's designed for. There are some things you have to learn at home. Some things you have to learn at home. So keep in mind that season of teenage years are seasons for you to advise your kids from 14 to 21. We're learning, and I'm advising you because you're making the choices. I had to make a choice that he was my God and not just my father's God and my mother's God. At some point in time, I had to make it a choice that I have decided to follow Jesus. Not because I have to be here, not because that my parents make me go. And let me tell you, it was not an option in my house. You had to go. When I was a little kid, my mother, there's three of us kids, we had to sit right in front of her in church, not with her. She wanted to know, and if I even did like this, like move my head sideways to my brother, she grabbed me by the short hair of the back of my head, and she would rip it up. I think there's a scar back there somewhere. I mean, there was no getting by with anything. One time I sat by my cousin Mark, and my cousin Mark made a paper football. Remember those we used to flick with our fingers? He flipped the football, and it landed, and I'm thinking, oh, he's wanting me to flip it back. I'm thinking, maybe I can do it without mom seeing it. So I got down really low and flipped it. I didn't make it. She saw it, and boy, I still have a scar back here somewhere, I'm pretty sure. I mean, they just believed that. You get in trouble there, you get a whipping when you get home. You get a whipping at school, you get another one when you get at home. What has happened to all this negotiating with kids stuff? I don't get that. There is nowhere in the Bible you're ever going to see that three-year-olds can negotiate. No, that's a time of your life that you're teaching them, this is right, this is wrong, and I don't care what they do at that house, this is what we do at this house. This is the rules of this house, and this is how we're going to do at our house. This is, every father should say at least one time, you are not speaking to your mother like that. And every mother should say at one time, you are not speaking to your father like that, not while I'm around. I'm going to tell you, folks, if you get together on your parenting, the kids have no choice but to comply. It's when you're apart and they use you as leverage because you're using them as leverage. That's when the family really gets in trouble. So when you have parents sticking together, so that is a training time. That is a learning time.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.